And welcome back to WGXE 90.7 FM, hands-on community radio in Greene and Columbia County. I'm Ron Diamonstein. I'm pleased to welcome five-term Dutchess County legislator Joel Tyner to our broadcast. Joel is a teacher and counselor by profession. He's a graduate of SUNY New Paltz, and he is running for the Democratic nomination for the newly redrawn 19th Congressional District, which primary date will be on Tuesday, June 26th. His opponent is Julian Schreibman. Welcome, Joel.
Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to get some information as to your positions on a couple of important issues that our voters are concerned with, of course. Let's begin with something that has really kind of dominated the news cycle here in New York State for a number of months, going on perhaps years, hydraulic fracturing, hydrofracking. I want to know basically what your position is on this. Your opponent, Mr. Schreibman, seems to be in opposition, but kind of has a little bit of wiggle room when you try to kind of pin him down in terms of deciding whether the technique or clarifying
exactly.
that has a liability on the part of operators. You know, so I just, where do you stand on this issue?
Fracking should be banned and criminalized. I've been saying that for a long time. I've been on this issue for 4 years. Back in June 2008, I launched a petition against fracking. It's petitiononline.com/nodrill with a capital N, capital D. Everything else is lowercase. Petitiononline.com/nodrill. I agree with Bill McKibben of 350.org, who I've had the occasion to chat with and meet a number of times, called into my radio show. So I agree with 350.org and Greenpeace and Citizens Environmental Coalition. They and 64 other organizations sent a letter to President Obama last summer saying that fracking, hydrofracking, should be there should be an immediate national moratorium. And I've been saying for years now that it should be banned throughout New York State. And you know, Julian's a good guy, nothing personal. I got into this race last August. I've been campaigning since last August against Chris Gibson. And then, you know, I know that he's going around saying he's against fracking, but I don't understand for the life of me why just 2 months ago on WAMC, Alan Chartok, I listen to this station, I listen to a lot of stations, but on Northeast Public Radio, Chartok asked him about fracking on April 17th, and anybody can listen, confirm, verify this for yourself. You can listen, download the interview online. Chartok asked him about fracking. He says, well, you know, in terms of the impact, I think the jury is still out. This issue is huge. This maybe is, I mean, even in places in New York State that might not have hardly any Marcellus shale, let alone Utica shale, people don't want this happening anywhere in New York State. And unfortunately, you know, the governor is still willing to treat folks in Broome County and Tioga and Chemung and Steuben counties as second-class citizens and jeopardize their drinking water, and that's unacceptable. And I think we cannot afford to have Democratic leaders anymore who are not going to stand up for us unapologetically 100%.
Well, then how do you intend to address issues of energy independence? Are you in favor of renewable sources of energy?
Solar, you know, Germany has less sunlight than we do. They have solar panels all over the place. There's no reason why. You know, I'm 48 years old. I don't know how old you are. I think you might remember, along with me, the OPEC oil embargo of the 70s. Oh, you're going to transition. We're going to make a change in this country. You're going to move to energy efficiency and conservation and solar and wind power and geothermal and tidal. And it's 2012, and over 90% of our energy is coming from coal, oil, nuclear power, and natural gas. And too many folks in the Republican and the Democratic power structures don't want to take on those special interests. There's another guy named Dr. Richard Perez from the SUNY Albany School of Atmospheric Sciences. He points out that over 90% of our power, energy, electrical supply needs could be met in New York State with solar panels on less than 1% of the state's land.
Part of the argument, I believe, against hydrofracking here in Greene County is that agriculture and tourism are crucial economic drivers. What would you do to help stabilize and even encourage growth in these sectors?
Well, I did a press conference with the folks, Mara Schechter of Food and Water Watch, and I don't know, about 50 other people, back in March 14th at Senator Gillibrand's federal building office in Albany. This is not picketing, protesting, demonstrating against Kirsten Gillibrand. This is actually applauding her for her previous work on this issue. But there's the farm bill comes up every 5 years. And so the Albany Times Union actually gave me some coverage. And, you know, if you go to foodandwaterwatch.org or also EWG.org, you know, unfortunately, too much of the farm bill right now is for the big, you know, corporate monopolies. It's for Archer Daniels Midland, it's for Monsanto, it's for ConAgra, and it's not for the small family farmers. And I also did another press conference that got some media attention in the Times Herald Record a few weeks ago in front of Chris Gibson's office in Kingston, because in early June, Bill McKibben, once again, Wendell Berry, Mario Batali, Michael Pollan, I can't remember the whole mix, but a lot of the, Francis Moore Lepe, a lot of the movers and shakers and the, you know, the healthy food small farm movement signed this letter to Congress and the President saying, once again, enough is enough. Why are you subsidizing crop insurance for the big boys and you're not helping out the vegetable and the fruit growers? You're not helping out the small guy. So I've already been active on this issue. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why it's not a bad idea to send somebody like me to Washington is I've gotten good at the inside-outside game, so to speak. Nobody likes an egotistical, arrogant person who's bragging. Okay, but I'm running for Congress, so I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit.
So you'll brag anyway,
right? I'm sorry. I'm running for office for in 11 counties. So, but the inside outside game, meaning, you know, I'm one of the biggest activists in Dutchess County and have been for 20 years. I'm so humble, right? Mm. But the truth is also, I've been elected five times in a row. There's only two Democrats who've been elected five times in a row. I'm still in office in the Dutchess County Legislature, myself and the minority leader, Barbara Jeter Jackson. And what I mean, talking about the farming issues is, or the anti-fracking issues, you know, I already, as it is, without me even being in office, I'm running around the district successfully mobilizing people to come out to rallies, which really lights a fire. It's not just about getting me elected. It lights a fire under the power structure of both parties and brings media attention to make change happen.
There has been arguments made that sometimes activists don't necessarily make for the best legislators. We definitely are in a highly polarized political environment in Washington, D.C. It's been escalating year after year. How do you propose to do your best to work through the gridlock?
Well, again, at the risk of seeming egotistical, I've proven, oh, it sounds like every other politician running, but I really have proven over the last five terms in office that I can work across party lines to get things done. I'm not saying I'm their favorite person, but even when I'm not in the room, there's Republicans who've been around forever in the county legislature who are saying that they probably regret me quoting them on this, but they're saying things like, you know, Joel Tiner keeps us honest. I mean, just the news media has been filled over the last couple weeks with reports about this new initiative in Dutchess County for an online budget survey, you know, so people can really weigh in and participate and decide what our county budget might look like for 2013. That's excellent. Perseverance pays off. I've been pushing for that for 4 years. You know, there's only six of us Democrats in the county legislature now, one conservative who caucuses with us. There's 18 Republicans. I mean, just last month I got a letter signed almost unanimously by everybody about Lyme disease and tick-borne disease, saying how ridiculous it is that all too often folks are cut off from antibiotics after 3 or 4 weeks. In Rhode Island and Connecticut, that doesn't happen. You have health insurance coverage, you have real coverage. And of course, I'm for single payer. You know, I understand that Maurice Hinchey is endorsing Shribman. That's all well and good. I still love Maurice.
What is your reaction to Representative Hinchey's endorsement of Shribman, actually,
well,
since you brought this up?
I have a feeling that after we win Tuesday and pull the upset of the decade, and I got to say, Maurice is breaking his promise on that, and the only reason why is because we have a very real chance to win. I know Julian is bragging about his ground roots, his groundwork, his troops. Well, guess what? we've been phone banking on the ground all over, literally all over. I mean, 2 months ago, we launched a campaign headquarters in Otsego County, and people are really fired up and motivated. They're sick and tired of the same old, same old. I think Einstein was the one who told us, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I've made sure that the homeless shelter in Dutchess County is funded sufficiently so that homeless veterans and homeless pregnant women are no longer turned away from shelter. I did that the first year I was in office when there were only 8 of us Democrats and 17 Republicans, and that's because I was able to get homeless people and activists working. So imagine, instead of having a congressman who's, or a congressional candidate who's like, well, you know, maybe we could allow a little bit of fracking, or, you know, in terms of the impact of, you know, fracking, I think the jury's still out. And imagine having a congressman who's already, and I've already been doing this, organizing rallies all over, saying, with all due respect, Mr. Cuomo, you're wrong.
Well, just as by way of informing our listeners, they're tuned to 90.7 FM. WGXC. I'm Ron Diamondstein, and we're in conversation with Joel Tyner, a Dutchess County legislator who is running in the Democratic primary on June 26 for the 19th district congressional seat. Why, I'll ask you this, why are you running as a Democrat if you have issues with the Democratic Party structure? Would it not perhaps behoove you to sort of run as an independent candidate, or I mean, why do you continue to work within the Democratic Party machine, shall I say?
I have hope. I come from Dutchess County, land of FDR and Eleanor. There's only one congressional district in the whole entire country that's home to FDR and Eleanor. You know, I think it's pretty obvious that a lot of folks in the Democratic power structure have taken a look at somebody like Maurice Hinchey, populist progressive, who's won so many times, willing to take it to the power structure. You know, single payer. Maurice, for decades, has been for single payer. Expand Medicare to cover everybody would save $400 billion a year. Julian will not be dragged kicking or screaming to say that. But, you know, it's like Michael Moore has been telling us for the last decade or two, occupy the Democratic Party. FDR talked about how the when the wealthy and the powerful special interests, when there's more concentration of wealth and power in the private hands than the government has, that's the very definition of fascism. I am here to represent the old Democratic coalition, FDR and Eleanor.
Okay.
And if you want to run in another part of the state or another part of the country, and you want to turn your back on the winning populist progressive legacy of FDR and Eleanor, go ahead, go right ahead. But if you're going to try to do that in my congressional district, you're going to have to go through me.
Okay. I get an answer to that. Okay. Let's follow up with just a couple of specific questions, specific issues. In the nature of agriculture, would you sponsor or support legislation to encourage the FDA to better label genetically modified foods?
Yes. And just last night, I was actually in Highland at the American Legion Hall. And Maggie Williams, I forget her name, she's with Move to Amend. There's a group that meets Monday nights at the Inquiring Mind bookstore in Saugerties, was talking about this issue. I've been on this issue since the 90s. And it can happen on a state level. It should happen on a national level. I think there may even be possibly countries where genetically modified organisms are banned. I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea either, but at the very least, they should be labeled.
Another important feature of economic vitality in this district is small business. And you frequently mention a gentleman named Bert Chernowski, this organization he's heading up in Fairfield, Iowa, an entrepreneurs association. What lessons do you think that they have to offer for us here in the Hudson Valley?
I met Michael Schumann, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. You know, the Northern Dutchess Alliance, I come from Northern Dutchess County. They, on their website, northerndutchess.org, I believe it is, they have the blueprint for economic development. With all due respect to the rest of my duly elected local officials and public leaders in Northern Dutchess County, I don't think that blueprint of economic development is being followed. That was Melissa Everett of Sustainable Hudson Valley, Ann Davis of Marist Butte of Economic Research, and Michael Schumann. And he has this new book out, Local Dollars, Local Cents, and Bard College just had this new Economics Institute conference. And what Bert Chernowski did is he got something like $300 million in investment capital to over 60 startup companies in a town of less than 10,000 people. $300 million in investment capital over, what, a 20, 30-year period. And he's the head of the Fairfield Entrepreneurs Association, and I think brainbelt.org is his website.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, I've been a community activist for 20 years. One of the some seminal moments for me were Jeff Cohen in 93 standing up at the end of a screening in Upstate Films in Rhinebeck of manufacturing consent about Noam Chomsky and media bias. And Jeff Cohen stands up and starts talking about single payer and Maurice Hinchey and this grassroots movement sweep in the country before the internet, 100 Democrats in the House. And another seminal moment was picking up the Utney Reader, I think in 93, and reading Paul Hawkins about sustainable development and the ecology of commerce. And, you know, there are win-win solutions. For instance, single payer. You know, Morton Mintz wrote about this 8 years ago in The Nation magazine. corporations and businesses and individuals could save $400 billion a year. Just expand Medicare to cover everybody. The other guy, the other Democrat running in this race, doesn't want to go that route. Michael Schuman also talks about $30 trillion that people in this country own in pension funds, life insurance funds, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, insurance funds, $30 trillion, but only less than 1% of that is directed to help small business.
Well, okay, so this harkens back to the issue of large financial institutions. So would you fight to restore Glass-Steagall?
That's been a big issue for me. Look, in all fairness, my opponent now is – Julian says he's for bringing back the Glass-Steagall Act. That's news to me because he's had to be basically dragged kicking and screaming to that. And again, I don't mean it's – you know, I haven't seen it anywhere in his literature on his website, maybe because I've been pressing him on it, because that's a Maurice Hinchey issue. I started a petition 4 years ago on that, but I also think beyond breaking up the big banks, we need to tax Wall Street speculation. And that's the massive national RebuildTheDream.com coalition that's calling for that, which includes the Working Families Party and AFL-CIO, and I don't hear him talking about taxing Wall Street speculation. Kel Surprise, he's getting a ton of money from his Wall Street buddies.
There's Senator Sherrod Brown, I believe, from Ohio, has put out proposed a bill in the Senate called the Safe Banking Act. Senator Brown wants an absolute lid on the size of banks, and I believe his bill would prohibit any bank from controlling more than 10% of the market. Would you be supportive of a House version of this act?
Definitely. And Sherrod Brown is big time one of my heroes. I've neglected to mention that, you know, he's head of the Fair Trade Caucus in the Senate. And, you know, Barack and Hillary 4 years ago campaigning all over the Rust Belt and the Northeast, against NAFTA, da-da-da-da. And here we have the vision and the specter of Chris Gibson, unfortunately, working hand in hand with Barack Obama late last year to expand the so-called, quote-unquote, free trade with the Korea, Panama, and Colombia. And look, I agree with Schreiberman. We got to stop the Republican war on Medicare. We got to stop the Republican war on women and Planned Parenthood. But I think the stronger, the more winning populist progressive message is saying you're going to stop, you know, Chris Gibson from cutting Medicare. And Chris Gibson has taken $46,000 from the insurance industry over the last couple of years. If you look at maplight.org and the FEC, I'm not taking a penny from the insurance industry. I'm not taking a penny from Wall Street. And Schreiberman can't say that. And the Democrats, for moral reasons, and for political reasons, cannot afford to underestimate any longer how ticked off people are at the power structure of both parties selling out, caving, compromising, coring, you know, capitulating to their Wall Street paymasters.
Congressman Gibson has been working on a couple of local items that have definitely have some serious import for the community, specifically rural broadband. How would you continue to either improve upon or work with the groundwork that Congressman Gibson has done? And of course, then I would like to know, I'm assuming that you have a position on net neutrality as well. And I'd like to.
I'm a strong supporter of net neutrality. And I don't know if you've heard the phrase, shifting sands or a shaky foundation. But with all due respect to Mr. Gibson's work on rural broadband, you know, the Albany Times Union, Jimmy Vielkind came out and covered. I did a press conference in the middle of nowhere in Schoharie County a couple weeks ago, and we had about 15 people in the town of Jefferson. I even had a Republican town supervisor from the town of Jefferson come out almost in effect practically in support of what I was talking about, that because I've done the research, you know, Time Warner, Cablevision, Verizon, these companies are making profits hand over fist. Every single community in the country. I know William Parker of CC Scoop has done a lot of work on this over the years. We need to work with our union brothers and sisters, CWA, Communication Workers of America. Go to speedmatters.org. There's a huge national coalition for rural broadband and broadband for everybody done right. We need to make sure that everybody has cell service to be safe. We need to make sure that everybody has broadband.
So are you advocating that the government should take a leading role in providing this? Or I'm just confused as to how you would organize this to make this work. You have companies responsible for doing this, and part of what Congressman Gibson has been proposing is a greater partnership. But obviously, he is assuming that it will be private companies who are going to be providing most of this.
Well, Mr. Gibson, unfortunately, is a good man. You know, I've chatted with him. I have nothing personal against him, even though he is voted over and over again to attack and cut the knees out from under the legs of senior citizens and women. But, you know, trusting in the private sector to do this right, as Chris Gibson does over and over again, I don't think is the answer. I think either – I think there's two solutions that would not be bad ones to this issue. Number one, force the profitable – and they got away with murder in the 1996 Telecommunications Act – but force the profitable telecommunications industry to make sure that everybody has broadband, okay? Because they're making money hand over fist. So if you want to do business in our state, you got to make sure that everybody in the state is covered. How about that one? Try that one on for size. Or either way, perhaps just as good, you know, take away these tax breaks for industries like this. I mean, Verizon has paid hardly any federal income taxes for many years. You know, continue what they want, I think, 45,000 workers to spend about $20,000 of their own money, basically giving back wages and benefits. And so, you know, I mean, Michael Moore said the richest 400 people in this country have the same amount of wealth as the other 150 million of us combined, talking in Madison, Wisconsin a year and a half ago. Why is that pertinent here? Because I'm not necessarily married, if you will, or wedded to the whole approach of forcing the other way around it would be, you know, taxing the wealthy to make sure that, you know, the government provides it. I'm not so sure either approach is better than the other, but either way, I would not be advocating for middle class or struggling working class folks to be paying any more than they are now.
Okay. Just on a couple of other sort of social hot button issues, would you vote for repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act if you were in Congress?
Yes, sir. And
okay. Are you open to revisiting some aspects of the war on drugs?
Some aspects? War on drugs should be stopped.
Okay. So, and specifically, I was thinking of the issue of decriminalizing marijuana or respecting state-approved medicinal marijuana.
Yep. And actually, I feel like at this point I've been on almost every Woodstock public access TV show, and I forget the name of the guy who really gave me a strong talking to lecture on this. Not only should marijuana be decriminalized, but it should be the prohibition should be repealed. You know, there's a huge portion of folks in our prisons and our jails that are there for nonviolent drug offenses. This is 2012. Again, it was my impression that issues like this were going to be taken care of decades ago, but they're still lingering.
Okay. And I would actually like to ask you here, would you pledge to support Julian Schreibman if he should receive the Democratic nomination on the Tuesday?
Yes, and I have repeatedly. Now, he's sort of half, maybe, sort of hinted that he might. And so I've said unequivocally that I would. You know, we cannot, you know, Chris Gibson's a good man, but we cannot afford two more years of guys like this in power. You know, but again, I'm not just running against Chris Gibson. I mean, Gibson and Romney would take this country over a cliff. But with all due respect, let's think about the fiscal cliff that's coming up January 1st, at least $100 billion in cuts. At the Democratic power structure, caving in and compromising, capitulating on practically every issue under the sun, work with me to send shockwaves across this region, send shockwaves across the state, and send a troublemaker to Congress who's going to turn Washington upside down, just like I've turned the Dutchess County Legislature upside down, right side up and inside out for the last 9 years.
Joel Tiner. Speaking of upside down, I think we'll draw this interview to a conclusion by bringing up this issue that has erupted over the past few days. Your former campaign treasurer, Mr. Fredericks, has leveled some serious charges against you at this closing moment in the campaign. Are they serious? Does she have some other axe to grind?
Well, I would say, with all due respect, I've been doing this for 20 years, and it's really sad what this has come to. But I tell you what, she's shown her hand. In the words of the immortal Cyndi Lauper, she's shown her true colors. I'll do everybody a favor, and I'm not going to sing any Cyndi here. But look, today's Poughkeepsie Journal, today's Register Star, the Albany Times Union blog, and the Times Herald Record all point out, basically, she picks on my performance at the debate. Okay, she's giving the reason and the rationale respect.
Just by method of explaining. Wait, sorry to interrupt. But I mean, so she has said in a series of interviews that she was intending to leave once the primary was over. She had made that decision. But because of your actions, as she quoted it, at the debate on Monday in New Paltz, she needed to do this immediately, which, of course, is, I mean, it,
right,
it
it's just a pure coincidence, of course. I mean, with all due respect, my actions, I mean, you know, with all due respect, Misha has leveled some very serious accusations and lies, and I am a public official. I should be held accountable, but there are laws against libel. And don't be surprised if you see myself and Ms. Fredericks in court.
Okay, let's draw this to a close, but I'll ask you this final question. Okay, this seems to be a little bit of a black mark, regardless, against you, because how should voters in the 19th district react to you as someone who hired this person in the first place? I mean, how are they to judge your judgment? That's my final question.
Here's the deal. If you're a five-term county legislator and still in office and you don't have a lot of money and you're an ordinary Joe Schmo, unfortunately, for better or for worse, a lot of folks in the Democratic power structure don't take you seriously. So if somebody comes forward and says they want to help and they're recommended by somebody who was supposed to be a supporter, and of course now that person is doing some, I tell you what, the friends and supporters of Misha Frederick also Fredericks also need to watch their step, because the people who brought the person who brought her on board my campaign, obviously you think I'm looking at them twice now. You better bet. But it's, you know, it's a little bit hard sometimes to pick and choose. I mean, obviously in retrospect, yeah, obviously I made the wrong decision. But I just want you to think about something. It's granted, if she was going to resign, maybe, you know, send a letter to me of explanation. Maybe send a letter to the core campaign, you know, 5 or 10. Does anybody honestly think that this woman was ever for once on my side when she blasts something out all over the media, all over the state, you know, and ripping me apart for my performance at the debate? By the way, I cleaned Julian's clock 6 ways to Sunday. Anybody who was there, I don't mean to sound egotistical or arrogant, but I know you guys have the, I believe the web stream is archived on the WGXC.org website. And I urge people to watch it because, look, I'm not perfect. I didn't do everything right during that debate, but I had a lot of people tell me voluntarily I kicked butt and I cleaned house. And so for her, well, you know, why do you think this came out? This came out because Joel Tiner, I got a very real chance to win. With one fraction, because my signs say 99%, because my signs say ban fracking. You know, I've never heard Maurice Hinchey call out for a ban on fracking. I give that man a lot of credit. I still love him, admire him, respect him highly. But Maurice Hinchey doesn't seem to be for a ban on fracking. And frankly, you know, Julian Tribin can say all he wants over the last 2 months, but he said what he said to Alan Chartok on April 17th. Alan asked him about fracking. Julian says, well, in terms of the impact, I think the jury's still out. Well, you know, National Academy of Sciences, Duke University, came out with a report last May showing that there's a 1,700% greater chance of methane in your drinking water well if it's within 1 mile of where fracking is taking place. That's a fact, Jack, in the words of the immortal Bill Murray of Stripes.
That's perfectly acceptable. Joel Tiner, a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the 19th Congressional District. The primary election is on June 26th. Get out and vote, especially, of course, if you're a registered Democrat. Thank you so much for joining us here at WGXC.
Thanks for having me. It's joelforcongress.org.